You're listening to the Ready, Set, Cloud podcast, a show about trending and difficult topics on serverless and in the cloud. Today, we're going to be talking about DevOps. Is it dead, or is it stronger than ever? I brought Omkar on the show to talk about the durability of DevOps with both serverless and generative AI going mainstream. We talk about the difference between DevOps and platform engineering, how you can include generative AI to improve DevOps tasks, and ponder over what's going to happen in the years to come. Ready, set, let's go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Some people say DevOps is dead. Others say we need it now more than ever. With serverless going mainstream and the introduction of generative AI like ChatGPT, some could make the argument that DevOps is holding on for dear life. Or is it? I brought Omkar Kadam on the show to help clarify the current landscape and talk about how emerging tools are impacting DevOps. Omkar, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Alan. I'm really excited to have this opportunity and speak about DevOps and how ChatGPT is impacting the whole software development landscape.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on. So you're a lead DevOps engineer at Cactus Communications, and you're also an AWS community builder. Tell me, what's your day-to-day looking like these days?
I handle the core wing of Cactus Communications. Cactus Communications is a scientific and research-heavy organization. We help researchers to amplify their research and reach everyone. So we provide language and editing-based services to people who might not be very well-versed in English. Our systems go through those manuscripts and help the researchers get published as per the journal's guidelines. We have a whole set of automated intelligent recommendation systems as well as systems which take in manuscripts and run grammar and technical checks, and they remove any formatting errors and make it publication ready. My work involves around AWS and a bit of Azure as well as GCP. But mostly all the services related to AWS making product deployments. So yeah, it's pretty much exciting.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. That sounds like a really cool job. So let's take a step back. So you said what DevOps is. Let's talk a little bit about responsibilities. So you talked about what you do. Is that a general DevOps role? Are there generally other things that DevOps engineers do?
Generally, DevOps engineers are responsible for infrastructure as code, and provisioning infrastructure, also looking into the CI/CD part. So what we are essentially doing is we empower the software development team so that they can release as quick as possible. They are basically very sure about the stuff they are deploying. And if there is a case that they have to revert it, they can have quicker rollbacks as well. So we essentially improve or partner with the software development team so that they can push stuff and get things to production ship stuff as soon as possible.
So you're not part of the individual dev teams, but it's more of a tangential team that oversees the development of all the dev teams?
Yes. If there is any significant architecture related change which needs to be vetted, that is heavily reviewed by the software development as well as DevOps team in conjunction. And if there is something like deployment support that is provided by us, there are a lot of overlap between platform engineering as well as a DevOps. I would put it as that.
One of my first episodes of this podcast was an entire episode about platform engineering, but I'd like to hear it from you, someone who's in the fray on the day-to-day. How is DevOps related to platform engineering and how is it different?
So platform engineering is essentially more like a self-service tooling wherein you provide the developers any tool or platform in which they can interact and get results on their own. So it is more like you are making them do stuff, build stuff, and own stuff. And DevOps is more about a culture wherein, so you could say that platform engineers are SRE and class SRE implements DevOps. So platform engineering folks essentially practice DevOps practices and they get the job done. So the platform engineering team could be more into code and hands-on on development. And if there is a task like breaking down a monolith into microservices, that could be a goal of platform engineering. And the similar overseeing part, providing guidance or providing ways how this can be done at a task level, can be guided by the DevOps team.
Got it. So We talk a lot about serverless on this show, so I feel obligated to bring it up when we talk about DevOps and platform engineering. A lot of people are under the assumption that serverless transforms traditional DevOps and kind of shifts the responsibilities more naturally toward platform engineering, in the sense that the developers that are writing the app code are also the ones that are writing the infrastructure as code. What do you think about that? Do you think that serverless is, for lack of a better word, strangling out traditional DevOps practices?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think serverless is a pretty interesting concept, and it is not stopping DevOps, but it is complementing DevOps practices, because as we have technological advancements, there would definitely be some architecture changes that are required to make something work in a better and efficient way. It could be a cost efficient as well, or it could be function driven development as well. So that is the natural part of how software development evolves over the time.
Okay, so let's take an example here, because I'm interested in what you're saying, because it still sounds like you're advocating for splitting DevOps engineers with, again, for lack of a better term, serverless developers. So in a real life example, let's say that an app team that's built on serverless architectures is wanting to implement a large new feature. And mm-hmm. that large new feature is going to require some async functionality reporting back to the user via either a WebSocket or maybe something like an email. How would the DevOps engineers get involved, and when would they get involved with that development team?
First, the idea would be to check what components are we going to use. Are we going to use an event-driven pattern, basically a Lambda, and get all the requests served via Lambda and SQSQ, or if we are going into the containerization phase? Based on the design decisions, the DevOps team can then pitch how all these building blocks come together and set it in a CI/CD pipeline. So that is how I oversee or envision how DevOps can partner with platform engineering to build complicated stuff that you just mentioned.
Gotcha. So who's responsible for coming up with those design decisions? Is that the DevOps team or is that the development team?
It's a collaborative decision, and the AWS related stuff is really our work. Shipping and building features, building code is the software development team efforts.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's pivot a little bit. So we talked about how DevOps teams interact with development teams. What are some of the other responsibilities of DevOps that might not be exactly code related?
So communication, collaboration, as well as expectation setting is what I think also matters in DevOps, because you are responsible for keeping the systems up and running almost all the time. So that is a challenge in itself.
I gotcha. And I know you're big into ChatGPT, and I know you use generative AI a lot. Where does that come into play with your responsibilities?
ChatGPT is a really revolutionary technology. And before ChatGPT, everyone had to spend time on the Google search and Stack Overflow. But right now, any engineer is able to leverage ChatGPT and get to the initial research very quick. So what I mean is that the stuff which required days is now requiring hours. So that is the kind of productivity impact that ChatGPT is giving to the software development landscape.
So you're using it for research and increasing the productivity from research projects. Is there anything else that you're using? Like, what about any automations that are now possible as a result of AI?
That's a very interesting question. So a lot of Lambda automations, which we had in mind, are now very easily possible because we can leverage it into SAM, and we can just give a code snippet. If you are able to master a prompt which solves what you are thinking about, then ChatGPT is really great at providing code snippets, which can be a baseline for what you are intending to do. We have implemented those into several of our AWS best practices as well, and we have also helped reduce the cost spends, and we have increased the optimizations in every angle that we have used ChatGPT so far.
Oh my gosh, that sounds incredible. Are you able to give me a couple of practical examples of how you did that?
Sure. So recently there was a AI hackathon in the community builders community. So what we did as a part of that was we used a lot of question Q&A banks from AWS, and we used it into a pipeline, which basically had all data sources that are available and the CSV files that we can provide. And we trained it on our LLM. The SageMaker model had all this data fed into it via RAG pipeline, a resource augmented generative pipeline, basically scrapes data from all data sources and it provides meaningful context to the prompt. And based on that, ChatGPT can give you relevant suggestions and direct suggestions as to what you should be optimizing. We benchmarked it with a normal Q&A agent and then we tried our pipeline. So the results were really astonishing because our ChatGPT enabled RAG pipeline gave us to the point answers and actual solutions which we could implement. So you can extend this analogy to if we provide the right set of data to our pipeline, it can be a game-changing tool for the knowledge base and what AWS support or the scattered documentation that every developer has to go through. They can have a chatbot which can provide all the information within their fingertips. That's how powerful you can get if you properly use ChatGPT to do a certain use case.
You've said some very important things in that description when it comes to ChatGPT and also the security of DevOps roles in the future. One of the big things that I took away from what you said is that you have to supply the generative AI services with the right data. And it's a hard thing to learn. It's a skill that people have to know how to prompt, how to give the right data to the machine to make it do what you want. And I'm curious how you've learned. Is this one of the things that it's a guess and check and it just comes with experience? How do you know what is the right data to get the output that you want?
Yeah, so it's a learning curve, I would say, definitely. The thing I generally say to everyone who uses ChatGPT is trust but verify. So you should have a baseline confidence and baseline information about the stuff that you are asking so that you could identify if ChatGPT is giving wrong information confidently or is it legit. So you have to have a baseline understanding to check if the solutions that are being provided by ChatGPT are actually going to work and going to work at a scale. And that comes from experience. As Andy Jesse says, there is no compression algorithm for experience. So that is definitely the case.
Such a great quote. Now, walk me through this whole process from end to end. So you have your data gathering, you prompt the generative AI, it provides you an answer, and then you're validating the answer to see whether or not you want to act on what it recommends. Is any of that automated or is that still people driven?
Some parts are automated, like if you have the question and answer banks, you could just plug in all the data or the CSV files and the pipeline is automated wherein it can dynamically get the CSVs that you are uploading. But you have to do the initial data gathering part and feeding the model part. That is something which is not really automated at this point.
When you look 3 or 5 years down the line, is that something that you see being automated? Is that something that you'll build up enough experience to have an automation that generally gathers the required information to prompt? Like, how much of what we just described do you envision will be possible without a human?
A lot of stuff won't be possible because it is really the initial days of ChatGPT taking a plunge into DevOps and stuff like code generation and AI generation for all generative tasks. So I think if given the right data and plugging into the existing pipelines, it is definitely going to be exciting to see how things get into another 3 to 5 years.
So let's talk about a hard question, given that information. Let's say that the majority of things that you're manually doing now with generative AI can be automated from end to end. What does that mean for DevOps engineers as we stand today? Is that role going to be irrelevant or is it going to be completely transformed? Or is there still going to be a need for what you do on a day-to-day?
So DevOps is going to stay and that is forever because DevOps by its definition is infinity and it involves from end to end. So day one, wherein software is getting deployed or it is just requirements gathering, and day N or day infinity, wherein we are continuously patching and upgrading our systems and making it performance efficient. So I would say DevOps is going to stay. There's no question about it.
Okay. That's the easy answer to the hard question. Let's talk figuratively. what would have to happen in the space to take the humans out of it? What if DevOps became an AI role completely? What would have to happen to get there?
So a lot of DevOps activities, which are hard to automate, require intuition and complex problem solving. If we are able to program this into ChatGPT so that it is trained to take decisions in face of uncertainty, then I think DevOps would probably be automated. But the hard stuff is left to the experts. So yeah, I think DevOps is pretty stable, and given the right tools and how we leverage ChatGPT, we are going to be very effective as DevOps engineers. DevOps or platform engineers shouldn't be scared of ChatGPT, but they should embrace it. That is what I see.
Absolutely. Let's talk more about some of the things that are now possible because we have things like ChatGPT. What are some of the things that have unlocked that really has never been a possible thing in the past? What are some of the things that you're doing now that are just really cool? You do it and you're like, wow, that's awesome.
So the things we are doing right now are like, There's a lot of stuff in security and visualization. So monitoring and logging is one area where we are now focusing a lot, because the tasks which were pending or priority are being done and streamlined now via the use of automation. So a lot of part which we weren't able to focus on, like monitoring and SRE or taking the keen decisions which are responsible for business processes, that is where the big picture thinking is where DevOps engineers can really outshine if they can automate their job. So yeah, that's it.
Okay, so let's take a sidestep from AI for a second, because I don't think anyone's going to argue that AI is here to stay. You know, it had that big blow up in the community in a good way, back in November with the release of ChatGPT, and then another resurgence of how cool it was back in March when ChatGPT version 4 came out. And that's here to stay. You know, there's tons of startups that are built on it, that are using it as their lifeline. And it's slowly but surely making its way into the rest of the software, you know, the legacy applications. And we're improving everything by getting the insights from artificial intelligence. So let's put that away. Let's assume that that's here to stay and it's going to keep growing and its relevance is going to keep going up. What's next for DevOps in the role? How do we improve? Like with every role, the responsibilities change over time as the tools become available. What's next? Where do we go?
That is such a great question. And to expand on this, I would give an analogy. So Google had improved a lot in terms of search. When there was nothing they could beat, they used their own benchmark and they tried to improve based on their set benchmarks. So what we can do as DevOps is we can look at the DORA metrics and put yourself as the competition and try to improve on those aspects.
So that's more of like a benchmark of, let me take the responsibilities I'm already doing and do them better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you see any new responsibilities coming into play as the landscape of software changes and the majority of everything shifts into the cloud and new features and new services and managed capabilities come out and become more mainstream? Do you see a need for DevOps around anything related to that?
Yeah, sure. DevOps is going to be needed because people have some kind of experience and how to deal with difficult situations. That is a skill which needs learning, which comes on hands-on experience in the cloud, managing clouds. These skills are kind of hard to be taught to a LLM. And that is where DevOps or the personal touch or personal experience will always be required, because when something goes wrong, if there is a business continuity or disaster recovery plan, you have to plan on the plan, not going according to the plan. So yeah, definitely DevOps or personal intelligence is going to be needed, and DevOps is how we do that.
Okay, so we're running a little bit low on time. Let's summarize what we've talked about today. So we've talked about the responsibilities of DevOps. We've talked about how there's still a need for dedicated DevOps roles with serverless and serverless app teams. We've talked about how generative AI has transformed DevOps tasks and made everybody force multipliers because it's reduced the amount of time to research And it's also unlocked capabilities with automations and optimizations. What else did I miss?
Okay, so the last thing which I would like to tell everyone is there is nothing in life to be feared, but only to be understood. So when human mind doesn't make sense or it doesn't understand a particular complex situation, it is naturally scared about it. But the software development team or anyone in the technology should not be afraid of ChatGPT, but they should actually embrace it so that they can use it in a better way and get there faster. So yeah, that's my parting thoughts.
I love it. That's great advice. So if anybody wants to get a hold of you, if they have questions on DevOps or ChatGPT, what's the best way to get in touch?
You can reach to me via my LinkedIn, via Medium. If you are a AWS community builder, you can reach to me via Slack.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. This has been a wonderful talk. I've learned a lot. I always do with these talks, and this is no exception. So thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you. Bye.
That's it for this episode of the Ready, Set, Cloud podcast. Be sure to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts to stay up to date on the latest episodes. For more info on trending cloud topics, be sure to visit readysetcloud.io and sign up for the Serverless Picks of the Week newsletter. I'm Alan Helton, and we're out of here.